Hello and welcome to Through the Bible with Les Felnick, an inspirational and informative half hour of insight into the heart of Scripture. In addition to teaching the Bible, Les is a full-time rancher, having a down-to-earth practical teaching style that makes the Bible come to life. All programs are available on audio tape, videotape, and in printed form. At the end of the program, there will be an address where you can contact the ministry. And now, here's Les Feldick with today's lesson.
My, you know, it's taking a bigger and bigger chunk out of our day, but how we love your letters. And, of course, we have to thank you for the financial help as well and your prayers, because without all that, we could never do it. So anyway, we just trust that the Lord is blessing. Nothing we like better than when someone writes and says for the first time they're understanding their Bible. They can read it and study it with some understanding. And we just give the Lord the praise for all that. Now, ordinarily, we don't try to promote products, but we do have one, and I've got kind of a selfish reason. Most of the questions that I have for the last several years spent hours and hours, almost every Sunday evening, answering, writing it by hand, are now in book form, and you can just save me a lot of time by just simply buying this book of almost 90 questions, isn't it? And answers from our material. And $11, just more or less what it costs us. And my, how people are appreciating. We just asked for a show of hands here in the studio, and almost everybody here already has one. And my daughter and her family are with us today, and Laura can tell you that almost invariably, if somebody has one, they'll call back and order 10, 15 more. So it is filling a niche, and it'll, like I said, it'll save me a lot of time answering questions. And also, since we are in the era of prophecy fulfilling almost right in front of our eyes, we have the tape available of our all-day seminar up in Minneapolis and St. Paul last fall. And it's a six-hour videotape, and it's just simply the first half of Revelation. So Iris wanted me to let the television audience know. Ordinarily, we don't promote because we're not doing this for any profit or anything like that. But we do want folks to know that it's available. All right, now getting back to the subject at hand, you remember, for the last four programs, and I guess some of those are already on the air. Now, that's something else I must take time a minute to explain. We keep getting questions, well, why do I see you one program and you're in Hebrews, and I'll see you another program, and it can be anywhere from Genesis on up. Well, for those of you out on television, especially you later comers in, we started with a weekly program way back in 1990-91, and after a couple of years weekly, a Minnesota station got the idea of using the rerun programs on a daily basis. Well, that just took off nationwide, and so now most of our stations play our programs on a daily basis, which means that they are rerunning old programs. And if they do their job right, they're supposed to play them in sequence. Now, they don't always do that, but they're supposed to be played in sequence. Now, if you're in an area of the country where you're just getting us once a week, then you will be right behind us. And what we taped a few weeks ago have already shown, I think, 1 or 2 weeks. So that's the difference. Now, sometime next spring or summer, I think it's going to be around the 1st of June, and if the Lord hasn't come, no? Huh? Really? Well, anyway, sometime down the road, they're going to catch up with us because they're using 5 programs a week and we're only making 1. And when they catch up with us, we'll just go back to Genesis. And I had a letter the other day that makes me feel real good about that. She said, I just found your program and I realize your format. When will you go back and start in Genesis again? So for those of you out there who have already watched us start Genesis 3-4 times over the years, just bear with us and remember that there are multitudes now who have probably only come in the last few books of the Bible, Corinthians and so forth. So that's the format. Daily are reruns. If you're watching a weekly program, it's current. That'll just be a few weeks behind the taping. All right, now in our last taping session, I really didn't intend to take that much time, but I spent all 4 programs on just an introduction to the book of James, and I really should have, Jerry, explained that it isn't just for the book of James, but all 3 of those Jewish epistles. James and Peter and John, those are all basically written to the Jew, and that's why we call them the Jewish epistles, as well as Jude, of course, in Revelation. So I told Laura or Iris this morning I will probably almost drop a bomb in people's laps today, because I'm going to make a statement that I haven't made before on television. It's always been in the back of my mind. In fact, those of you who have seen my series in Revelation will remember that I did not touch on those seven letters to the seven churches, because I was never convinced that that was church language. There's not a word of church language in them. And consequently, I was also never convinced that the book of Revelation was not written until 95 A.D. Well, I can no longer agree with that. And so we're going to come back and take a little better look at our introduction, continuing on. I'm not going to change anything from what we said before. But you'll remember over the last four programs, we brought our Old Testament, or the prophetic timeline, coming out of all the Old Testament prophets. And then we have Christ's earthly ministry. The 3 years in here where we have specified over the years that he ministered only to the nation of Israel, with a couple exceptions, because of the covenant promises that were given only to Israel. And of course, then we are introduced to the rejection of his messiahship. He's crucified. He goes back to glory, according to Psalms 110, verse 1, to sit at the Father's right hand until his enemies are his footstool, which would be at the end of the tribulation. So if you leave Paul out of the picture, if you leave everything from Romans through Hebrews out of the biblical picture, this is your timeline. You're coming through the crucifixion, the ascension, and then the ministry of Peter and the 11, and then they were looking for the tribulation, and then the second coming, and then the kingdom. And even the Apostle Paul, who begins his ministry back there in about 40 A.D., still was looking for even the outcalling of the church in his lifetime. He had no comprehension until we get to 2 Timothy that he was going to lose his life by martyrdom, and evidently time would go on. All right, so now while we're waiting for our camera people to get ready, I went ahead and put some of these things on the board, and you probably can't read it unless I quote it for you. But according to most of the chronologers, and I'm taking a little liberty, I'll admit that, because not every chronologer is year to year in agreement. There's usually 4, 5, 6 years, sometimes more than that. And so I'm just taking a more or less an average of the chronology. And what we find then is that the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts, as well as these little Jewish epistles of James, 1 Peter, not 2 Peter, because that was written several years later. So all of these Jewish writings coming on through 1 Peter, Jude, as well as the book of Revelation, were all written in this time frame between 40 and 58 A.D. Then by the time that has been pretty much accomplished, then we have the Apostle Paul now coming on over with his epistles, starting with Thessalonians, the Corinthians, the Galatians, the Roman letter, and Hebrews, and 1 Timothy, and Titus. And he more or less wrote those in the same period that a lot of these are written, only not as early as 40. Paul probably started his earliest letters of Thessalonians probably from about 58. And then he winds up Titus in his prison epistles, which would be 64. And then, you remember, no, here's his prison epistles. I've got them over here. I shouldn't have that on there. I don't want Timothy and Titus. We'll take that off. And then over here on his prison epistles, beginning with Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Philemon, that's 64 to 68. And then I think in 68 we have 2 Peter and 2 Timothy. So here's where I'm probably going to shock a few people. I think 2 Timothy is the end of the New Testament writings. That would be the last book written. Now, I have to prove that from Scripture, don't I? Come back with me, first and foremost, to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, because even though I may take a little liberty with chronology, I will not take liberty with the Word, because that has to be left as it is. In Romans 15, verse 4, an amazing statement. And I remember when I taught Romans several years ago, I used this verse to indicate that everything that had been written in Old Testament time is what he's referring to. But now, after these last several years of deliberation and a lot of lost sleep, believe me, I've come to the conclusion, since I can now show this kind of a time frame for the Jewish writings, the four Gospels, and of course Acts is Luke's account of the activity in that period of time between the ascension and the close of the scriptural writings. But other than Acts, then you come down to James and 1 Peter and Jude through Revelation, then that completes all of the non-Pauline writings. Now then, look what Paul can say. Since everything else in the New Testament has already been written, now look what the Scripture says. Romans 15, verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime, in other words, before he came onto the picture, whatever things were written aforetime were written for our what? Learning. And isn't it exactly what they all are? We never tell people, hey, they're inappropriate, don't read the Old Testament, don't read the Gospels. We never say that. But all we do say is that you won't find church doctrine in the Old Testament. You won't find church salvation in the Old Testament, nor in the Gospels. That is only in Paul. So this verse is so appropriate that everything written before Paul begins his writings was written for our learning and its background. But you can't go in there and find salvation, and you can't find the order of church behavior. That all has to come from Paul. See? All right, then I found another verse just several weeks ago that really put the frosting on the cake, and I just about in exaltation said, Lord, thank you. Because this is what I needed. This is what I needed. Colossians chapter 1. And it's going to blow you away. I know it is. But you can't refute it because it's what the book says. Colossians chapter 1, and drop down to verse 25. Colossians chapter 1, verse 25. And then now you folks with your electronic concordances and so forth, and Greek, you can just check me out. Colossians 1, verse 25, where Paul says, whereof I am made a minister, that is, for the body's sake, up in verse 24, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the Word of God. Now, if you happen to have a different translation, or if you have a margin, what is a better translation of the word fulfill? Who's got it?
Complete.
What does complete mean? Just exactly what it says. Now read it in that light. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to complete the Word of God. One of my Greek definitions went even another step further, to put an end to. That says it all. Now you have to stop and analyze a minute then. What did Paul write last of all? Second Timothy. Now, I hope I've got time to do all this. Like I said, I've lost a lot of sleep on this particular concept, and I want to make sure I get it across so that people can see where I'm coming from. All of Scripture, as I've pointed out in the last four programs, all of Scripture understood only this timeline. They had no concept of this being pushed out for 2,000 years. everything was looking forward to the coming of this horrible wrath and vexation followed by the return of Christ. Now let's just chase a few of these down. If I don't finish it in this half hour, we'll just pick it up in the next one. Let's go all the way back to Matthew. We can just start in Matthew 24. Matthew 24. And these all are scriptures that are so obvious that everything was looking forward to the end of everything and the coming in of the kingdom. Matthew, well, let's just look at the last three verses of 23. Matthew 23, drop in at 37 and 38. Now, we always have to realize and never forget that Jesus of Nazareth was God. He never stopped being the deity. So he knew a lot, in fact he knew it all, but he knew a lot of things that he never revealed. He kept it secret, which was his prerogative. And so you have to understand that even though he could have given the whole scenario that this is what's going to happen, that's going to, he didn't. Because of the things that are kept secret. All right, so here in 37, we get an inkling that he now sees that Israel is not going to accept the king and the kingdom. So he says in verse 37, Matthew 23, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, way back in the Old Testament, and stonest them who are sent unto thee, how often I would have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chicks under her wings, but you would not. Behold, your house is left what? Desolate. That doesn't sound like a kingdom, does it? Your house is left desolate. For I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth. He's speaking, of course, of his ascension now. You will not see me henceforth. What's the next word? Until. There's a time coming that you will say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Now, according to all of prophecy, when will that happen? Well, when the kingdom begins, when Christ returns, see? And so Jesus is indicating now that all of these things that have been prophesied are not going to bring in the kingdom. Oh, you know, I was so thrilled. I think it was in the article Charles gave me, where the gentleman that wrote the article explained all this just exactly like I do, with not one difference of opinion. In fact, Charles said, you know, I'd have swore he copied what you said. No, that wasn't the case. We're just simply both reading the same book. But anyhow, he made it so plain as well that when Jesus began his earthly ministry, these 3 years, and as he was proclaiming that he was the fulfillment of all those Old Testament promises, Israel could have had the king and the kingdom. That was their prerogative. That was the offer. And how many times haven't you heard me say it was a valid offer? He wasn't lying. They could have had the king and the kingdom, but they rejected it, which of course God knew in foreknowledge. See? All right, so this is where Jesus now is giving us a little indication that he knows what they're going to do. They are not going to succumb to his offer of the kingdom, but they're going to reject him until the place that they become desolate. All right, now we'll move on into chapter 24. Drop down to verse 3. Now as Jesus is sitting upon the Mount of Olives, verse 3, the disciples, that is the 12, they came unto him privately. In other words, there was no press of crowds or anything like that. It was just Jesus and the 12 in a private meeting. And the disciples came and said, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the ages? And then Jesus answered and said, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. And so now he starts laying out, in perfect accord with Revelation chapter 6, all the events of these 7 years. Step by step, how that these things would unfold. And then when you get to verse 15, when he says, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, which is the midpoint, He's got it all right in a row, see? All right, so he's speaking of these days of wrath and vexation shortly following everything that is going to happen with association with his crucifixion and his ascension. All right, now then let's just move on over to Luke, because I just want you to see how that all of these, what I call these Jewish scriptures, are all speaking in full accord with the Old Testament prophecy. Luke 21. Luke 21. And just drop in, honey, at verse 20. Now, I hope those of you on television will bear with me. I'm not going to be in a great big sweat to hurry up and get through the little letter of James. In fact, like Laura knows only too well, I haven't looked forward to it with a lot of expectation, because James isn't like Genesis and James isn't like Revelation. It's just more or less like Proverbs. You know, James just speaks of practical behavior. So I'm in no great big hurry to get into the book of James. But on the other hand, I felt this was so imperative that our people understand why these things were written the way they were written. It's because it's in fulfillment of the Old Testament. And it has nothing to do with this period of time that you and I are from, the church age. That's going to be totally set apart and insulated. All right, so back to Luke now, chapter 21, verse 20. And Jesus again is speaking in his earthly ministry. And he says, when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof, that is of Jerusalem, is nigh. Then let them who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them who are in the midst of it depart out. Let not them that are in the countries therein too. Why? For these be the days of what? Vengeance. Vengeance. Now remember, stop and think as you read these things. How does Psalms chapter 2 put it? Vexation and wrath. All the same period of time. All right, so now he says, so these are going to be the days of vengeance, wherein all things that are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and those that are nursing in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land, see, and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles will be fulfilled. And that, of course, will bring in the time of the kingdom, the rule and the reign. All right, now John, the Gospel of John, speaks almost nothing of those kind of prophecies. So we're going to go right through John and come on over into Acts. Acts chapter 2, and this is all I want you to see, is how all of these letters and writings concerning the nation of Israel are looking only at the next great event in history, which would be the tribulation and the return of Christ. All right, so in chapter 1, sorry about that, chapter 2, Acts chapter 2, and Peter has now stood up on the day of Pentecost, and he tells this crowd who are aghast at the miracles that are taking place. In verse 15 of Acts 2, Peter stands up and he says, these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Old Testament prophecies being fulfilled, see? Now verse 17, and it shall come to pass in the last days. Now you remember in our last session I explained what the last days of Scripture were. The last days of Scripture included this period of time from the beginning of Christ's earthly ministry until His second coming. That was the last days, which was to include, of course, not only the crucifixion and the resurrection and the ascension, but the coming in of the horrors of the tribulation and the second coming. That was the last days. And over, Scripture refers to these as the last days. Even Paul will refer to it as the last days. All right, now read on. In the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Now remember, he's quoting from the Old Testament book of Joel. And your young men shall see vision, your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants, verse 18, and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my Spirit. That was what happened there at the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit came down. And they shall prophesy or speak forth. But see, Peter keeps right on going in the Joel account. And I will show wonders in heaven above, signs in the earth beneath, blood, fire, vapor of smoke. See, all of this, so far as Peter was thinking, was right down the pipe. There wasn't going to be any interruption. All right? Here would come the tribulation, the fire and the vapor of smoke, the sun turned into darkness and the moon into blood. That's exactly how Revelation describes it, see? All right? Before that great and notable day of the Lord come, that is, the wrath and vexation. All right, that would usher in the kingdom, and again, just like Jesus said concerning the hen and her chicks back there in Matthew 23, verse 21, it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, that is not the same setting of calling on the Lord that Paul talks about in Romans chapter 10. This is what it would be when Christ would set up his kingdom. Israel was going to evangelize. You remember in our last four programs how that Israel would go out and 10 men of 10 nations would take a hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew. Remember that? And they will tell these Jews, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. And then what? The Gentiles would respond. And how would they respond? They would call on the name of the Lord, and they could be saved. Now, there's nothing in here yet of the age of grace. See, this is all talking about the kingdom economy when the tribulation has run its course, Christ has returned, and the world is now ready to recognize him as their king.
Thank you for joining us again for Through the Bible with Les Feldick. If you'd like to order audio tapes, videos, or any of our printed material, you may do so by writing Les Feldick Ministries, Route 1, Box 760, Kenta, Oklahoma, 74552. That's Les Feldick Ministries, Route 1, Box 760, Kenta, Oklahoma, 74552. Or you can call us toll-free if you'd like at 1-800-369-7856. That's 1-800-369-7856. Remember, this is a faith ministry, and your participation with us is greatly appreciated. Again, our address is Les Feldick Ministries, Route 1, Box 760, Kenta, Oklahoma, 74552. And our phone is 1-800-369-7856. Thanks again for listening, and please join us next time for Through the Bible with Les Feldick.